Thank you, Pastor Gary. It's my pleasure to be here. What better place would it be than to be in the church of the Lord that we serve, our Christ, our Lord and Savior? But that's not true around the world, that there's many places that are under stress, are certainly under critical times in their communities and in their lives, where it makes it dangerous to even assemble in the name of the Lord to worship and to learn and be taught God's word. So I count it a privilege that we can come and worship the Lord in peace, in comfort, and enjoy his strengthening of our lives with his word. I think we touched on a couple of issues in Bible study this morning that at least interested my heart and mind in the Gideon ministry, that as the world is in need of the Lord, the Christ that can bring salvation to our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we might accept him as our personal Savior and a hope of eternal life. And that's the challenge that we as the Gideons have, and we keep looking around the world to see where these opportunities present themselves as a international organization, and with all of the development in world politics and all of the things that are happening in global economy, we keep thinking about the Pacific Rim countries and what is happening there, and the illusion that we have is that there are people there that are doing the work, but that our work needs to be done in other places. But that's not true, that there's many places in the Pacific Rim areas that are not receiving the word of God. Many, many people have not received it at all, never been introduced to it. It's an entirely new concept to them as far as religion and a Godhead in their life, and they kind of go along worshiping all kinds of idols and worshiping all kinds of false religions with the desire that they can fulfill their life spiritually. Well, we know that there's only one true church, one true God, one true Christ, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us as Christians. And we need to spread that word many places, and Pacific Rim countries such as China and Indonesia are certainly countries that are heavily populated and are without a true worship of Christ openly. Now, I just recently read a book in regard to China and the house churches of China, and the title of the book is The Heavenly Man. And this is a man that was converted, believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, has been very active in the house church program in China. It's not the state church, and it's easily to get confused because the state church is under the authority of the central government, and they're very highly regulated. But the house church programs that worship the true Lord and God that we serve is under persecution. And anyone that assembles and studies the word of God and presents it as the true church of the living God is being persecuted. And yet they have a great movement there in the house church system that's all underground, underneath the state church, and they're struggling, but they're moving forward and they're growing, they're expanding. Naomi and I had the privilege of being in the airport in Atlanta, Georgia, a few years ago, and we noticed this man of Chinese descent, or Oriental descent anyway, that was standing in the lobby reading a Gideon Bible. And I was interested in the transition of what happened, how come he had a Gideon Bible and was reading it. So I introduced myself, and we entered into a conversation. He spoke very good English. and he's a mathematics professor. And we had a short discussion there standing in the lobby, and he told me that he was active in a house church and that they were studying the Word of God, that they were had to be very careful about their participation, but he was a Christian. He professed to be a Christian, but he was very interested when he was presented the Gideon Bible, and this is one way that he was able to spend some time waiting for his flight, and he dropped my attention. So our conversation led me to an appreciation of what is happening in China, but also this book on the heavenly man, and if you would like to take note of that, it's a good book to read to understand some of the thing and the persecution that that church is undergoing in the big country, the competitor to the United States in national global economy, that is very interesting and informative. As I was reading in our Gideon magazine, I ran across this story about Menang. Menang is a businessman from the small island of South Sumatra in Indonesia. Menang was here in the United States on a business trip to the state of California, and it was attending a seminar for a couple of weeks. So Menang was busy during the daytime hours. He was involved with his seminars and his learning experience from a business standpoint. But when he returned to the hotel at night, he had lots of hours and lots of time on his hands, so that he actually asked the clerk at the hotel if there was something to do or some place to go or how to spend some time. And the clerk informed him that it was the dangerous part of town and that he probably would be much safer if he remained within the hotel and he'd be safe there. Menang did return to his room and searched through the Gideon Bible that was left there in the hotel room for his convenience, and he read that continuously for reading material while he was in the motel room through that 2-week period. Well, when Menang left that hotel, he guiltily slipped the Bible into his belongings and took it back to Indonesia with him. And secretly, he was reading this and studying this Bible. And he accepted the Lord, confessed his sin, asked Christ to save him. And he felt very confident that the Holy Spirit had done a work in his life. And then he thought, well, maybe I should be baptized. But he thought about it again. He said, well, maybe I better share this with my wife, that I'm making these decisions in my life that affects her as well. So he did share this secret with his wife. And she said, well, I know about the Bible. She said, I found that in your things when you came home. She said, and I've been reading the scriptures as well. She said, and I would like to accept the Lord as well. Well, Menang now is studying at the Bible conference in Jakarta, Indonesia. He's going to become a pastor to go back to the West Sumatra area, which is 99% Muslim, one church, 200 members, and he's studying to be an outreach pastor for that community in West Sumatra, which is a population on that island of about 8 million people. So what can happen from a Gideon Bible? Wherever it's placed, it's a witness, it's an opportunity, and to spread the gospel and take it to other parts of the world. Another time on a distribution in the Philippines, when the Gideons were there in 1937, there was an individual that received this Bible in a school distribution at the age of 14. It just happened that he was an altar boy at a Catholic church. But he received this Bible and he became touched by the Spirit of the Lord, gave his heart to the Lord, was converted, accepted Christ as his personal Savior. His name was Tika. Tika, in 1937, married and had seven boys for a family. All seven boys of Tika's family became ministers in the Philippines. Seven boys, but that wasn't the end of the story. Those seven boys married, and they have 35 grandchildren. 35 grandchildren, and one of the grandchildren was at Nashville, Tennessee a year ago at the National Convention and gave his testimony. He's now in Christian outreach ministry himself, but of the 35 grandchildren, 17 were boys, 18 girls. I have no history, no knowledge of what happened to the girls in the family, but all 17 of those Tika children are in the ministry of the Lord in the Philippine Islands. What a blessing, what an opportunity for building of the God's kingdom around the world. And really, as I speak to you this morning, the Gideon ministry is kind of recognized as the Bible ministry. It was actually started by a couple of salesmen that were in a hotel room, and they entered into a Bible study together, and they dreamed and they thought, and it was soon developed into an outreach program that is now over 100 years old. Here in the United States alone, we have about 80,000 Gideon members, 80,000 Gideons, 60,000 auxiliary members who are wives of the Gideons. The Gideon men have their part of the outreach program, but the auxiliary ladies do a marvelous job in helping and assisting in the spreading of the gospel. Just recently, our Gideon women, and Jill and Keith are a part of this Gideon ministry as well, but Jill and Naomi and some of the other auxiliary ladies actually did Bible distributions right here in St. Clair County, right here in St. Clair, in the outreach program for the auxiliary. They placed Bibles in not only in the hotels, but in the doctor's offices, medical facilities, dentist offices, and this is an outreach program that has been expanded in the Gideon ministry here in the United States. On an annual basis, the Gideons will distribute between 80 million and 100 million Bibles annually. Worldwide, up to date, over a billion point four Bibles have been placed through the Gideon ministry in the last 100 years. So it's an ongoing ministry. It's a ministry that reaches around the world in many different ways. We have, at the present time, Gideon groups, and I refer to them or say groups, we refer to ourselves as camps, that as we organize into groups within St. Clair County, we have two camps, a north camp and a south camp. We happen to be participants in the south camp group here in St. Clair County, but this is these are organized throughout Michigan. I don't know the exact number, but there are over 200 camps in the state of Michigan alone that are working in the Gideon ministry. But as we spread out across the country, we know that we are active in all the states of the United States. We are representatives of the churches. In order to be a Gideon, you have to be in good standing in your own congregation. Your pastor is has to authorize your activity as being a believer and a church participant and a member in good standing in order to become a Gideon member. But in our world outreach program now, we're organized with groups or camps in 190 different countries. The Bibles are published in 89 different languages. It's a large operation. The Bibles that we distribute are financed through various ways. We have what we call the auxiliary are primarily responsible for the Gideon Card Expression Card Program, and Naomi is here with me today. And if there are any of you that want to be more acquainted with the Expression Card Program, Naomi would be willing to share that information with you after the church service this morning. It's a way that we can get special funds for special projects. And last year in the Gideon card program through the auxiliary, that there was about $18 million that was raised nationally for the Gideon Expression Card program. The operation of Gideon International is primarily operated on funds from membership dues. It's set up like on that basis that all monies that are needed for Gideon expenses to run the operation of the incorporation come from assessing the members' dues. All monies that are gifts toward the Gideon ministry through the evangelical churches of the country are used to purchase Bibles. And again, I want to congratulate this church for being a continuous supporter of the Gideon ministry. You can feel that you're a part of this world ministry, that some of the monies that you've contributed just recently, and also some of the monies that you've contributed in the past, have helped place many of those Bibles in various places around the world. As we look at Gideon Ministries in hotels, we try to replace Bibles that are either missing or have been in bad condition. We would place a new Bible there and take the old Bible and refurbish it, and this is used primarily in our prison ministries, that we replenish those Bibles that have been used or tattered with a soft cover and use them in the Gideon ministry and in the prisons, because they're not allowed to have a hard covered Bible within the prison system. As far as the Gideon ministry and its use of replacing Bibles in the hotels, I could relate another story, a personal story of mine, that I went to the dentist against my will, but I went to the dentist because that's not a pleasant thing to do. But I arrived at 8 o'clock and in a dentist's office, there was a lady that was sitting there, and she looked a bit distraught, and she was reading the Gideon Bible that had been placed in the dentist's office in Port Huron, Michigan. And I said, I said to her, I see you're reading the Gideon Bible. And she said, yes, so what? You know, kind of tersely. And I said, well, I really appreciate that. I said, we often wonder how much they're used in the doctor's offices, but she was reading it. And she related this story to me. She said that just very recently, either the night before or day before, that her son had called her. And he had left home and she hadn't heard from him for 3 months. And she said that we had a long conversation and restored our relationship, she said, but I asked him about his spiritual life because he had been a church attender and she was convinced that he was a Christian young man. But she said, are you reading your Bible and studying your Bible? And he kind of, she said, well, I was looking through your things and you didn't take your Bible with you. He said, well, I was staying in a motel, he said, and I kind of took the Bible with me when I left. It's a missing Bible, but the Gideons are always glad to replace those. There people are studying them. The hotel room is still a great place for communication with those people that are under stress, various reasons, traveling, various job displacements, family problems where they're seeking housing someplace but are under a lot of stress. They have time, they're a captive audience for the Bible, and they're well used. That many times we look at them and they seem to be in real good condition, and maybe it makes you wonder whether they've been used. But there have been major studies done on through the organization that the Bibles are really used in the motels. And when there was one missing, we really feel that that's a case of someone really needing the Bible, needs the Word of God in their life. And if they can find that, if they can search through the Word of God and through the touching of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, make a confession of their sin, accept the Lord as their personal Savior, and then move on from there. Because taking the Bible with you is always a witness wherever it goes. I'd like to read some scripture with you this morning that kind of supports the Gideon ministry and wholeheartedly. We know that it's the truth and that it affects our lives in our Christian walk as we go through our journey of life as well. From Isaiah 55, we read from, starting with in chapter 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and not return there, but the water of the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may be give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." We can have confidence and we can praise the Lord, our God, that he's seen the necessity to communicate to us, his people, on this earth through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. We can be real pleased and grateful for the fact that Christ did come. And if we accept him as our personal Savior, confess our sin, that we might become saved, and then our journey begins. Too many of us, including myself, thought when we were first saved that we were rescued from our sin, that was sufficient. But as we know that life is a journey, we are truly grateful and blessed by the grace of the Lord, but it also becomes a challenge. And as we place these Bibles in the hands of people, students, military, school children, college distributions, wherever one of those Bibles is placed, it's a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, hoping that they'll be read and studied, that the Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin, and they'll accept the Lord, find salvation, and then the journey begins. We think of the Bible as being something that might be laid aside, but that's not the truth for us as Christians. We know that through the reading of his word and the discipline that we find from God's word, that it builds integrity into an individual. It changes their lives. They become new people. They're a set-aside people that understand the true God and the true religion for salvation and the hope of eternal life. It's our hope that the Gideon ministry will continue to spread out into various parts of the world, that more countries will accept the Gideon's opportunity of developing the Gideon ministry within their borders. We don't know how far it can go. There are limitations financially for the organization to spread into some of these other parts of the world, and where we also are running into more and more restrictions as the other religions are countering with restrictions, persecution. It makes it very difficult for one person or one group that has no support within a country to develop these kind of developments and organizational aspects. Dr. Bill Cromer spoke to a men's group not just a men's group, but a group of Gideons and their wives in the pastor's appreciation banquet a couple of weeks ago. And he is sharing with us the things that are happening in Africa, in many of the places where he was there on an outreach program, and how willing and anxious that they are to receive the gospel, to receive the Bibles, the support for the new churches that are springing up there in that part of Africa. But those people haven't ever had a book to read. Many of them will be, if they get a book or get a Bible distributed to them through their pastor situations for the outreach program, that might be the only book that the family will have for reading. One family, one Bible, but it's the first Bible that many of them have ever had for their own personal use. There are many places around the world that are crying out for the Gideon ministry and Gideon distributions within their countries. We think of the Philippines just maybe 6-7 years ago, the distribution that was made there. Over 900,000 Bibles were distributed in the Philippine Islands alone. Colombia, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Africa, all of these countries are asking for distributions, but it takes a lot of personnel time, it takes a lot of effort for us to go and place Bibles in those countries on that largest scale. That's not only personnel, but it's transportation, it's accommodations. But it's important for us as Gideons to keep on pressing into those areas, because once a camp can be established, then we have a home base to work from, that the people, the natives of those particular countries, can develop their own outreach program. They're familiar with the area, they're familiar with the organization, they're familiar with the school systems, and they can gladly, and through the efforts of organization and support, they can reach out and reach the people of those countries. There's a number of ways that you can support the Gideons. It's through your church organization. This church has been wonderful in their support of the Gideon ministry over the years. But most of our funds for outreach programs and the distribution of the Bibles and the cost of the Bibles is supported by the evangelical churches of this country. How many would you guess? How many churches do you think are considered evangelical in the United States? Gideon International said that one of their last mailings, one of their last contacts with evangelical churches in the United States was 231,000. That's a lot of churches. Some say that the church is getting weaker. We don't believe it is. It's getting stronger. The word is going out. God will see to that. God has promised us in the book of Isaiah that his word will not return to him void. There's a higher power, there's a greater power beyond our imagination. Pastor Gary was commenting, he can't describe what heaven is really like. We only read about it from the word of God. What it will be like will be much greater yet than what we can imagine. But it's within his power. It's within our Godhead, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that gives us hope for eternal life. And unless we take the word, accept his word, believe on him as the Christ, the only way to the Father through his Son, that we might have that hope of eternal life. And this is what our mission is to place Bibles into the hands of those that will accept them, into the hands of those that will study them. Their lives will be changed, transformed, and they have the hope of eternal life. It builds integrity. It builds confidence within an individual. They have joy in the Lord. And that's what we hope that the Gideon ministry can go on, continue to spread the word, placing Bibles, trusting in the Lord, that the Holy Spirit will touch people's lives. I do thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to come and share a little bit about the Gideon ministry with you. There's a lot more to it than that, but we're always limited on amount of time that we can make in presentations, but I certainly want to compliment you on your participation. Thank you, Pastor Gary, for allowing us to come and share with your people. There won't be an offering this morning for the Gideon ministry, but we understand that that's already been taken care of. And that's a nice way of doing it, but you can take the bulletin that's before you, that was distributed with the in the regular bulletin, and there's an envelope there. And if you're inclined sometime to want to pass along a gift to the Gideons, that could be mailed to that mailbox, P.O. mailbox that is available or stamped on that envelope. So we, again, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to have you be reminded that Naomi is available to speak in regard to the expression cards for those that are interested in. This is another way of supporting the ministry. These are, this happens to be a graduate card. If you have graduates at this time of year and would like to mail them one of these cards, these are a card that you can buy from the supply that we have, and the wedding cards, but there are also the cards that you could that are free that you can send, and then if you want to have make a contribution to the Gideons through the mailing system, you can do that. But again, I thank you. And at this time, let's just end with a word of prayer, if we would, please. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the privileges that you have given us, the freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Pastor Gary and their ministry of this to the families of this particular congregation. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the opportunities that you afford us all to come into your presence and worship you as our God and Savior. We thank you for the opportunities of the Gideons in spreading your word to people that have not heard, to people that have heard and resisted. And also, Lord, we pray that your spirit will be with each one and guide them into the hope of eternal life.